Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy 3-hour program lined up today. Okay, among our guests, Ryan Kramer is going to join the program coming up in 30 minutes, Sports Gambling Podcast. He loves to bet on touchdown scores, first, any, many. And he had a great year with the first touchdown scores of the game. He's in studio. Ed Sammons, Superbook, Risk Management, VP over there. We'll get his thoughts on the drop-off from Knicks to Stidham. Adam Chernoff on the two title games and Chris Massaro, who won the Friday Invitational here at Circa and on VSiN. A New England fan in studio coming up in a couple of hours as well. So, Pauly, we have some point spread movement today. And we also have a game in which these two teams are playing for the third time this year in the NFC. And I went, that game still bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody holding Rams future tickets, I can't get that game out of my head because they'd have the one seed. They'd be playing this game at home today if they didn't blow that game. And I went back and the game I'm talking about, of course, was in overtime, the dumb two-point conversion that never should have been a thing. But the Seahawks needed to convert three of those to eventually win the game. They did 38-37 in overtime. When you go back and look at the box score, first of all, the Rams tried to punch them in the mouth to begin the game, right? They came out running the football. Five of the first six plays were rushes with Kyren Williams. He had 23 yards. McVay went for it not once, but twice on the opening drive on fourth down, including at their own 38-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually turned the ball over on the Seattle 39-yard line. So after that turnover on downs, Seattle hit a big pass to Kenneth Walker, and they scored two plays later. There was a common theme in that game, and that was Seattle went three and out a lot. They turned the ball over a couple of times. They never had a long, sustained drive until overtime. And by that, I mean they had explosive plays throughout the game, like a 55-yard touchdown by Kenneth Walker. They had the long punt return by Rashid Shaheed.
That changed. The game was over.
Yeah, for sure. Done. It's over with.
Yep.
They had their first drive of the game that was actually going to do something was right before halftime, and the cup fumbled. Other than that, if the Rams could eliminate the big play threat here in this game, I'm talking about now on Sunday, I don't know if the Seahawks are going to move the ball that much. That might sound dumb, like, hey, dummy, that's part of the game. I understand that. But you take that away from the previous game, and the Rams would have absolutely blown the doors off the Seahawks.
Well, I'm not sold on this Rams defense. And another takeaway from that game, 580 yards, and they didn't have Adams.
That's correct.
Stafford did whatever he wanted, and four tight ends caught a pass in that game for the Rams. Also, the big takeaway, right now as we sit here today, Rams are plus 15 in the turnover differential. Seattle's minus 4. How big is that on Sunday? And they're also trying to become the sixth team to win three in a row on the road in the playoffs. And you are right. And that's why the league should look at this. You're 14-5, yet you're the 5 seed, and you have to go on the road again here where it's just how they decide to do this in Carolina, got the home playoff game. In any event, the thing I can't get past, though, is also he was awesome until he hurt his finger against Carolina. Stafford has not been the same quarterback. He had the great drive to win it, and the beautiful pass and a better catch by Parkinson in the tippy-toe touchdown. But he has not played well since he hurt his finger. How much is he compromised? And the fact that you're off an overtime game, they have the rest advantage, you're on the road yet again. Everything points to a Seattle win if they take care of the ball.
Did you realize that Stafford is 6-1 straight up against the Seahawks with the Rams?
Yeah, McVay and Stafford, you have very good numbers.
Yep.
Stafford, even better numbers against Seattle, yes.
The only loss was that Week 16 debacle. There's also this NFC title teams entering on a 7-plus game win streak are 0-6 straight up in this game. But, I mean, that game was peppered with three and outs by Seattle. So I don't know if they're going to get the 55-yard runs again from Kenneth Walker. Again, there's no Zach Charbonnet. Are they going to get the punt return for a touchdown from Rashid Shaheed in this game?
Uh-huh.
Again, you've been saying this all week. Kick it through the end zone on kickoffs. And by the way, on punts, I would also say kick it out of bounds. You can't let Shaheed beat you here in this spot.
Yep.
And also the Rams, by the way, had a 1st and 10 at midfield with 1:02 left. They missed a field goal that would have won the game.
Mm-hmm.
Incomplete pass, yada, yada, yada. that was a miracle that the Seahawks got that win. And I don't know if that's getting enough attention. Now, you could probably come back and throw the Week 11 game in my face and say Darnold threw for 130 yards, or Stafford did. Darnold had four INTs, and they had a chance to win the game at the buzzer with a long field goal, and they never did.
Yeah, that's the incredible thing. The two matchup, that's 58-57, and the yards are 830 to 829. Mm-hmm. I mean, give me a break. But that's why turnovers and what Sal Pal talked about, that's been the story of the playoffs, especially last week with the silly quarterback play, and also the special teams could bite him in the ass. More so, I think no score first 5.5 minutes, it looks good. And the fact that McVay has talked about, I did a bad job, but I didn't get the ball enough to Williams and establish the run more against the Bears.
Yep.
And what he said after the game, walking up to Allen and said, you kicked our ass. Great job, Chicago. But it's a nasty Seattle defense, and I'm concerned about Stafford's health and the fact that the rest advantage, the overtime, special teams, all of it, and it feels like Seattle's going to win a lower-scoring game.
Are you concerned at all about Darnold against this Rams defense? Again, I mentioned the four INTs the first time they played this year. Let me take you back to the wildcard round last year in the playoffs when Darnold was with a 14-win Minnesota Vikings outfit. They went to L.A. to play, lost 27-9.
Yeah, you don't have to bum out. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Darnold was sacked 9 times in the game.
It was terrible. Yeah. He was seeing ghosts again. But that's, again, what we've talked about. It's historic where you have the one seed who has a player who led the league in turnovers. It's unprecedented, and it's going to start with him. But I think Kupp can have a big game. JSN and the rushing attack will be there, and they'll be able to contain this Rams offense. I think the last game was a fluke, and I think it will be more so in line with what happened in L.A. when they still should have won the game and Darnold was sloppy with the ball.
I'm seeing the money line again as high as minus 155. On the Seahawks earlier this week, down as low as minus 131 right now.
Yeah.
So money is coming in on the Rams to win the game outright.
I'm surprised by that. Also, this is big. And growing up in Minnesota, and we know what's going on, everyone be safe out there. Be careful with all the weather. But Evan Abrams with this, when you're an indoor team and you go outdoors for a title game the last 50 years, you're 0-15 straight up and 2-13 against the spread. I got indoors, outdoors. I have a quarterback with a bad finger. You can come back and give me the oblique. But I'm also coming off an overtime game, and I'm playing my third straight playoff game on the road. And they have a rest advantage. And the game was over in the second quarter against the Niners. Everything's going against me here if I'm the Rams.
I will say the one thing, too, under Mike McDonald, who you're going to hear from in a second, Seahawks are actually a better road team than they are at home.
Yeah. But it's a tough place to play, and that's the
111
in a row
loud.
In the playoffs. When fans are there, too.
All right, so let's go back to that Week 11 game. Again, the game in which Darnold threw four INTs. That was the one played. Low scoring, not a lot of yards. And the Rams won it by a couple of points. Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald actually said this week, kind of glad they lost that game.
That's funny. I think if you took a straw poll from the guys around the team, I think that game was a game where it really came into focus about what type of team we could be, and that we have a special group that was resilient as heck and had each other's backs, and we're going to stick up for each other and fight like heck for 60 minutes and really becoming the team that we wanted to be. We started to have some real evidence of it, even though it wasn't really the outcome that we wanted. So kind of glad that it happened, it's stunk in the moment, but given where we're at now, that was a important part of our season that I felt like something maybe we had to go through to get to the point where we're at now.
Done a hell of a job with this team.
Yeah.
Who's their quarterback if Darnold goes back to Minnesota?
Good question. I don't know. And it also, remember, we were talking before the season about we would expect Jalen Milroe at some point in a Milroe package, which never happened. But how this guy can change everything, where it was Minnesota said we have to move on, he cost himself a lot of money, and now the guy's one game away from going to the Super Bowl after being labeled a bust and never worked out anywhere. It's an incredible storyline if he's able to win this.
Oh, by the way, and of course, that game's the late game.
Mm-hmm.
I say that just because it all works out for the NFL where you have this marquee matchup. I get it, it's the one versus the number two, but let's be honest here. The Rams and Seahawks is a heavyweight bout that we're talking about. There's also news on the other game, the AFC game. DraftKings right now is at Patriots -3.5 on the game.
Yep. So that trend goes out the window then. Home dogs of catching 4 or more, 9-0 ATS all time. That would go out the window if it settles there, and still the biggest home dog in a title game since 1968. We'll see. We'll see what this kid can do. Finally, we're getting the New England perspective about all you guys are delusional. You're out of your minds. This guy's going to be mediocre at best. And you retweeted it. Dave Tooley with a great find. When he was in New Orleans and Breeze got hurt, Peyton went 8-1 with Bridgewater and Taysom Hill. That's a good find by Tooley. And the fact that in Peyton we trust, and they paid this guy a lot of money, if he's able to go out there, and now it looks like he'll have Dobbins, and he's going to have Bryant back, that this guy can make enough plays and they could win the game.
He also, it goes back a little bit deeper than that. Tooley found that Peyton's about 18-6 overall in his career. That includes 1-1 in Denver in 2023 when Stidham was playing the last two games in place of Russell Wilson. So I know other people have ruled out like the third and fourth stringers. Tooley went back, documented this, looked at all the games. He has a grade at 18-6 lifetime, Sean Payton, with backup quarterbacks. That run that he was on with Teddy Bridgewater was bonkers, man.
It was.
You wanted to be on Teddy Two Gloves every single game.
Yes, yes. So he becomes the first quarterback since Staubach in 1972 to throw his first pass in a title game. That's crazy. Or first start in a title game. First pass in a playoff game has never happened before. Mm-hmm. In a season, rather. So he's the big outlier here and see how he can play. And I'm going to make the case that he can go over his prop and put up some good numbers and some of these big tickets can cash.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, recent betting results for this weekend. And we will tell you that simply doing this has been 19-9 ATS over the last 20 years. Details on that next here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on
VSiN. All right, so some numbers previous weekends in Championship Sunday for the National Football League. This is available a couple of different sources here. One, of course, Steve Mackin and VSiN.com has great numbers year-round on every single sport that he covers. But when you follow the moves throughout the week, and again, we're seeing more money now on Denver this week, DraftKings down to 3.5 on New England. So the money's been on that team. Early money moved Seattle from 1.5 to 2.5. We'll let that play out because, like I said earlier, the money line has come down a little bit. It looks like money's showing on the Rams to win the game outright. But if you just simply followed the line moves this week, going back since 2005, you're 19-9 ATS. Last year, quick move on Philadelphia from 4.5 to 6 against Washington. We know what happened there. Blowout the entire time. If that's a thing, the market has gotten it right anyway, more times than not, 68% of the time, in fact, last 20 years.
Yeah, okay. So much of the season has been the New England schedule, and rightfully so. But the other angle is how good is this Denver team, which we've talked about. Benjamin Albright was on last week, and saying, I don't know how good this team is.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 12-2 in one-score games, and six times they had to come back in the fourth quarter. We all watched the same games. The Washington game, two-point conversion. They almost lost to the Jets, the Titans. The list goes on. The Giants game, and now you got a backup quarterback in there, right? So it's a 15-3 record. But again, we don't know how good this Denver team is, and yet one of these teams is going to the Super Bowl. Now, can they do it with their defense, which has been leaking oil going back? It's right there, though, because May has six fumbles in the playoffs so far, and it's his first road playoff game. Can they get pressure on him? Can they turn him over? And I also think Stidham goes over based on Peyton's history. He gets frustrated early on and stubborn, doesn't like to run the ball. You can't run on New England when they're healthy. And I think the only success they can have is the dump offs to Harvey, the short stuff, and get these wide receivers involved. And that's where you lean on your veteran quarterback who you trust and you pay all this money to. The comeback is he only has one win in his career. But there's some anti-New England stuff here. I don't like flying out on Saturday night with the altitude and also the history where the only team to pull this off is the 99 Rams, who were 150-1. I'm talking about the big futures. These guys were 80-90-1 before the season started, if Vrabel can pull this off. And Vrabel's been great in this spot, December or later, as a road favorite, 8-0 straight up, easy margin of victory, 17 a game. But I think they're going to have their hands full Sunday. It's not going to be a cakewalk like some in the Boston media think it's going to be.
Yeah, I'm totally on the same page as Paul Charchian yesterday, who came on around this time a day ago. And if you missed it, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast. I think it's correlated here, where RJ Harvey is not going to have success running the football.
Yep.
And he is going to be used in the passing attack. Hence, everything under on his rushing yards and maybe even attempts, but over receptions and over with the yards. And I will point out, Mackinnon has this: home teams that won 14 or more games in a regular season are 11-1 straight up and 9-3 ATS in their last 12 conference title games. That applies to both home teams coming up on Sunday. Matchups with the 1 versus the 2 seed championship Sunday. Over the total, 14-5-1. That's 74% since 2002. And I have heard a lot of people, and now it's going up a little bit here at 42.5. One book's at 43 that I'm looking at right now on the screen. But I think we're going to get some points here. And that prop that you talked about this week, where maybe it turns into kind of a passing game and you can't run on New England, so both guys are going to be passing the football more than we think. And then both quarterbacks to have 25-plus completions is 28-1?
Yeah. How about every quarterback throws an interception is 6-1?
I like Darnold throwing INT. The way Stafford has been trending.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that pressure is absolutely going to be on May a lot from that defensive front. And I can see that. Is their book offering that, or will they? I'm sure they're going to let you parlay all four guys.
FanDuel has it. But you can do that as well, too. Maybe a better price. Fair enough.
Now, there's also this, Paulie: when totals are in the range of 45 and a little bit shorter than that, totals are on a 10-4-1 run. And totals in the 45-48 range are 10-3 over as well. So,
Also what you said earlier. Houston running backs, 18 for 31.
Mm-hmm.
Charger running backs, 12 for 30. I think he's just going to say the hell with it early on in the game because he's not going to have any success. And it's just going to be throw with this guy. And how he's going to – and look what he did last week. I mean, you're going against Buffalo, and he still wanted to throw. And he didn't hit Sutton until late in the fourth quarter. So it's just – there's so many different things going on, whether anti-New England or anti-Denver from the trend standpoint. But I think the big one is – and you have to take New England in the first half based on how strong they come out every single half, and maybe you get a Stidham mistake early on. May laying 3 points or more in his career, 13-0 straight up. The Patriots are 8-0 on the road this year, and the last 16 games, 15-0-1 on the first half money line. That's coaching, and that's an incredible job by Vrabel to do that, and how they've been an ATS and money line in the first half and what they've done, and then they can lean on that defense. But the run defense is awesome, no doubt about it. But I think they can have success through the air. And how steady will Stidham be and how accurate and mistake-free, that's a toss-up. And I wish I could give you a stronger answer, but I think the stats can be there in the numbers, not to mention plus 650 at Caesars, most passing yards of the weekend. What if they're behind him playing catch-up with a coach who wants to throw the ball anyways?
Every time, yeah, and totally abandon the run. I will say this, because the number on the game is now coming down, especially at DK, the Patriots in the first half are now minus 1.5 points.
That got up. That was 3.5 earlier in the week.
For the first half?
Yeah.
Also,
they're well aware of this, what was going on.
And I'll give you this as well. So first quarter, the Patriots minus a half is plus 124. If you want to go on the money line, they're minus 135. So just will they outscore them by half a point or more? You can get that plus 124, Paulie, if you think to jump on them a little bit early here in the game.
Yeah.
Which, don't hate that angle. Again, do you think Stidham's going to sleep well Saturday night? I mean, that guy's probably going to be a nervous wreck. How could you not be? I think if you're a regular starting quarterback in the league, you're probably pretty nervous. If you're Stidham now, all of a sudden, for him to come out and be a little bit slow and shaky, I think we can expect that.
I would think the same thing with Drake May, though. You know, number one, New England fans have to be nervous. It's a house of horrors, as we've talked about.
Yeah.
They never won a playoff game in Denver. They lost to Jake Plummer, of all people, in one game. And a lot of times they had the better team and lost, and it's a tough place to play. And Drake May has been turning the ball over in the playoffs, and it's his first road playoff start. But I just wish Denver's defense was playing at a higher level.
Well,
and they have not. The Jacksonville game, the Buffalo game. I mean, guys are running wide open.
I do expect that unit to play out of their minds on Sunday. And part of that is because of the fallen star theory here that we have now, right? Because of no more bone. This is kind of like when I'll go back. I'll show my age a little bit here. One of my favorite starting pitchers of all time is Johan Santana for the Twins. Won a couple of Cy Youngs. It would always crush me because he would go like seven innings, give up one hit, strike out 11, and have a no decision because the Twins would never give him any run support. And it's that theory of, well, now the offense know that Santana is going to go out there. He's going to allow nothing, so we don't have to show up, and we could walk out of there with a 2-1 win maybe. If the thought is, well, we have Bo Nix, we're going to be okay. Now we don't have that guy going out there. We have to all play even higher at a better level than we played the entire year and win it in spite of, you know, being, you know, the loss of our quarterback there. So, and we saw that again. The example is between these two teams when they played and Peyton Manning. Again, I brought this up early in the week. He was not a good quarterback at the end of his career. The final year when he won, and yep, it was a back and forth, like, yep, is Brock Osweiler going to be the guy? Is Peyton Manning? Now, he was eventually the starting quarterback for that team. I'm fairly confident in saying that they would have won it with Osweiler as well. That defense played out of their minds on their way to that title. And they, every time that Brady dropped back to pass, they had one or two guys in his face. And that's the way you can beat a really good quarterback. We saw that with Brady over the years. But if the front four of Denver can get and be in May's face the entire time, oh, he'll get frustrated for sure.
Little Jordan Humphrey should have had two touchdowns last week. He's 11-1 anytime. What am I missing here?
I think you got to bet it again.
Yes.
On the anytime.
Kid was good last week. And they threw to him. I mean, if you he has the drop, he has two touchdowns, and he's still priced at 11-1.
Right.
You know, they've adjusted on Mims, who's now down to 4 in some spots. But I think with a strong week of practice and knowing that these guys, and they're probably going to throw a lot, Humphrey, Mims, and you saw that they didn't have a lot of throws to Sutton last week. Maybe it could be those two guys that he throws a lot tonight.
And by the way, Humphrey is that big-bodied receiver, yeah, who makes a lot of sense, like, in and around the goal line, right?
Yeah.
And he got open. He got some separation. Just his hands couldn't hang on to it. 11-1 is a big number on him.
Yeah. I was surprised by that. But I do think it's the angle for Henry, we've talked about all week, that he has a big game for the Patriots. The other one, too, good job. FanDuel, I think they're the only book that offers this. FanDuel has most tight ends of the weekend.
Most yards.
Most yards tight end.
Yeah, okay,
sorry.
Good.
Yes,
good.
They offer that. And Parkinson's a pretty good number. And I think that's 6-1. That's not bad. After he led the team in receiving yards, dead heat, though, against the Bears.
Well, you're down to four teams right now, and I'm just
thinking, that's the thing. I know. Stidham plus 650. We got two games
that's
here.
That's it. I know. I'm thinking of, like, Arroyo for the Seahawks. I think he was cleared today to go.
Higbee's like 80-1. I mean.
Yeah.
Maybe 60 yards does it.
Sure. Ryan Kramer up next, VSiN host. First touchdown scores, any, many, and some more long shots he likes for the weekend next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Kramer!
Yeah.
Here we go. Ryan Kramer joins the program now.
Kramer.
We are live.
Yeah, all
right.
Kramer.
Downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Ryan Kramer is one half of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Their edition on Fridays is live right here on VSiN at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. out here on the West Coast. What's shaking, man?
Happy Friday. What a weekend. We get to study the backup quarterback for a conference championship team all week.
Now, this is like right in your wheelhouse, is it not?
Too much. Okay. I will say I'm very overweight on Broncos props this week.
Okay. Well, let's begin with the backup quarterback.
No such thing.
Now the starting quarterback. How did you want to attack it? Do you have Jared Stidham anytime?
I have Jared Stidham just about any way you can play it. I loved your take on the completions and the attempts the other day on the show. I think he's confident. I think Sean Payton is confident in his abilities. And like the narrative is, think about it. When he got drafted, McDaniels, Tom Brady, they'd been together for a decade. He apparently quickly picked up the playbook. First thing Josh McDaniels does in Las Vegas, trades draft picks for Jared Stidham. First thing Sean Payton does as the coach of the Broncos, sign Jared Stidham. And he said that he thinks he has one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league. I think he called him a hidden talent. So, yeah, I think he's going to do great. And if you look at his numbers, see, this is how sick I am. I went back, preseason logs, looking at practice logs, trying to figure out who does he like to throw to, what does he like to do. And all I found out was in the preseason, his career, 32 carries, 208 yards, 3 touchdowns. For the Broncos, 10 for 92 and a touchdown. Now, we remember he got some play with the Raiders, 14 carries, 84 yards in those two games. So we see Opta AI likes the over slightly, grabbed a 13.5. I think you can still find a 14.5. I just think he's going to run. I think he's intelligent. I think Peyton's going to have it in his head. Quick read, 1-2, go. And I think also if the Patriots continue their blitz habits, there's going to be some opportunities. He's going to be smart. He's going to know what the coverage is. And I think when he sees man off a blitz, he's going to be quick to go. So 13.5 rushing yards felt like the first thing I was going to put in my pocket this week. But like I said, I also think Sean Payton makes it easy for him. I think there's going to be a lot of screens, a lot of tight ends involved, a lot of misdirection. If you remember the preseason game against the Cardinals, he had a great rollout to Evan Ingram. Just in general, a lot of moving of the pocket. And so I think a lot of easy completions. So like that's like I said, I love the completions. I love the attempts. Anytime is plus 420. I'm going to play it. Like I told you, I have way too many Broncos anytime touchdowns this week. But yeah, Stidham, I'm pretty much playing every way. I think he has a fun game. I think he's an interesting play for most passing yards in the weekend.
Damn right.
I think his 3 touchdowns is something like 4.5 or 5-1. So it's one of those things, right? You read a really good book, you want to read the next book. I read too much about Jared Stidham this week.
Yeah, he was great in the preseason, no doubt. Man, Stidham, 25 completions, 28-1 at Caesars.
I've seen some of their combo props, too, where it's like, I could see this going that way. The Broncos defense has given up a lot of yards, a little bit more bend but don't break. And
yeah.
You know, I think both coaches would be smart to implement a lot of quick passing. So your completion, I like that completions angle a lot.
100 yards each half is 3-1. 30 yards each quarter plus 280. Interesting stuff. Who's he throwing to? Tell us about those any times. Well, you've got to have Jordan Humphrey in your pocket.
Shout out to my coach, Sean Green. He loves the Jordan Humphrey single and 2 touchdown. And I think his passing yards a little disrespectful, too. So I went back. I looked at what the beat reporters were saying in the summer. He really loved throwing the ball to who? Pat Bryant. Oh, Pat Bryant probably not going to be out there. He also loved throwing it to Franklin. Probably also not going to be out there and useful. And so guess who stepped into the Pat Bryant role last week when he got hurt? Little Jordan Humphrey, to your point. The other angles I like, again, I think it's going to be a lot of misdirection, a lot of quick stuff. Love all the tight ends. Loving Evan Ingram. He's 5-1 on the anytime. Love his yards as well. I think it's 19.5, 20.5, something like that. Troutman running a ton of routes. Love Adam Troutman. I mean, his anytime is creeping even higher. I believe it's in the 6 or 7-1 range. And then you can get to the mega stuff. Nate Atkins, can I interest you in a 15-1 anytime? And like you said, the little Jordan, how do you not play the little Jordan Humphrey? 2 end zone targets last week. Obviously got the touchdown. Big bodied guy. I mean, again, we're getting very excited about an offense with a backup quarterback.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we can't be excited about every player on the team.
No.
Right? Like, not every player is going to go over, and this game is going to be 48-45. I don't think.
Right? I don't think.
So, which player do you want to fade then on Denver?
System play, right? The Patriots. With Milton Williams, this defense just not allowing a lot of running backs to get any yards. In fact, the only running back who hit his over versus a Milton Williams healthy in the Patriots defense was actually Sean Tucker with the Bucks. Jalen Warren had 47 yards, but it was on 18 carries. I think we're going to see the same thing we saw last week with Woody Marks. They're going to force Jared Stidham to prove it. And yeah, I'm under whatever you can get. I think it's 43.5 right now. And certainly I think look at last week. We got this weird Madden game plan where it was just, you know, the only thing we're going to do with RJ Harvey is throw these weird flat routes to him. It didn't make much sense to me. So I think if we're getting another cute game plan, I think it's going to involve the same. And for him to get over this number, he probably needs 13 carries. I don't think he's getting 13 carries.
I don't either.
No.
No, that's fair. How about in the NFC title game? What are you thinking here with the running backs?
I think both running backs have opportunities through the air. I mean, first up, Kyren Williams, his number is low. 13.5, 14.5. He's been over that the last five games. I think it's the best way to attack Seattle. We were talking about McCaffrey. It's the way you want to attack this defense. So Kyren to go over his receiving yards, 13.5, 14.5. That, I like that in pocket. And then Kenneth Walker in both games. I mean, last game he went well over 22.5, which is his receiving yards number. And in both Rams games, he had something like 3 for 44 and 3 for 64. And so he's by himself now. He's the explosive guy. I think this Rams defense has also had a propensity of giving up a big play here and there. And so I think I like the explosiveness of Kenneth Walker here. I'm going to take the over receiving yards.
All right. What's the craziest bet that you have in pocket for the weekend so far?
Well, we'll get to go back to the Broncos game. Evan Ingram, we're going to ladder his receiving yards. I've played this scenario out a ton in my head, and I'm trying to figure out who's going to get the ball. Started reading some of the practice reports, some of the beat reporters' thoughts on the situation. And then I see these pictures surfacing of Sean Payton talking to Evan Ingram on the sideline. Sean Payton talking to Evan Ingram while he's stretching. Are they talking about the Joker role? The beat reporters seem to think he might line up a little bit more out wide, maybe a little bit more of a receiver. And like I mentioned, in the preseason, Jared Stidham, play action, rollout, Evan Ingram, 58-yard catch. We ladder this all the way up to 80 yards. The top of the ladder is 28-1. 28-1. I understand he's a little washed at this point, but someone's got to do it. And at some of these plays, you kind of just have to follow your gut and be like, you know what, this is potentially the Evan Ingram game. So I was battling myself between Troutman and Ingram. I'll also be on Troutman's over 6.5 yards, running a lot of routes, like I said. But yeah, I think Evan Ingram is the crazy one. And then 2 touchdowns for a guy that's out there for all the snaps, 80-1.
Okay.
He's 10-1 most yards for a tight end.
Yeah, I'll, now that you mention that, okay, we'll be adding that into the shopping cart.
Good job.
And then I got another crazy one for you on the other side. Do we know who Jake Bobo is? Loves the block. Got a first read target last week. Not out there for a lot of snaps, but they're in the red zone. He's 20-1 on the anytime. First
on anytime.
And 100-1 on the first.
I was going to say, say that he has cashed in on the first touchdown prop before.
In fact, he's one of those where he's on the wall. He's on the wall of guys I've hit at 100-1 on
the
first touchdown. So, yeah.
Didn't Helani do it too?
Well, he's
active.
Well, Cam Akers, talk about a nice narrative there. If he gets some luck.
Wow. Okay. So you had the one in the national title game as well.
Yep. Riley Nowakowski. And the crazy part is I did the degenerate thing where I went down to the window to make the bets. I had an extra $100 chip, put that on the anytime price plus 530. So national championship game turned out all right.
Very good. Can you give us a taste?
I'll give you the whole menu.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
And by the way, you're going to give these right now in like 90 seconds, but follow Ryan on X at KramerCentric, where he sends them out for every game.
Post them out. We also do a pregame show. I'll talk about them there on YouTube. Let's start with the early game. Kyle Williams, 40-1. Mac Hollins, it looks like he might play now.
Yes, but it does.
Kyle Williams has been running decent routes. He had, 0-for-3 on the targets last week. So we're going 40-1 on him. Drake May is always going to be a play for me. He just has to be on the card. He's 15-1. Nate Atkins, brought him up. Evan Ingram, Adam Troutman, Nate. I want big game hunting here. Nate Atkins, 100-1. And then Jared Stidham, 22-1. I'm going to play that 10 times out of 10. And then for the late game, Jake Bobo, 100-1. Got to go on the card. Going with Cooper Kupp, little revenge angle there, 16-1. And then Colby Parkinson, of the not main guys, he's getting the most looks in the red zone. He's 20-1. And I'm going chalk here. Devontae Adams, I think there's some regression coming in terms of he's dominating the targets in the red zone, just not getting the touchdowns lately. So we're going Devontae Adams, 9-1.
Man, if you go back to beginning of the season, it was all Devontae.
Yeah.
Like every single time they would go to him. All right, man, that was awesome. Thank you. Best of luck this weekend.
Yeah, same to you.
There you go. And Sports Gambling Podcast, by the way, out. They do it every, throughout the week. But the Friday edition is at 10 o'clock Eastern right here on VSiN, 7 o'clock Pacific time. Win, lose up next. What happens if another quarterback goes down? We'll discuss backups just in case.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays. Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
We got streaks going in hockey. It's fun now. Kraken, goal in the first 10. 12 of the last 13. Flyers, 9 of the last 10. Buffalo's on a nice run as well. It took them 44 seconds. I believe that's 13 in a row with the Sabres. First period over, 12 in a row with Ottawa.
Now, that was a very low price again yesterday.
Yes, it was. Good job. Hornets plus 220 on the money line. Good bounce back. Orlando really scuffling now. Nice win for the Hornets after getting embarrassed against Cleveland.
That was, so both teams lost outright. First game back from the European trip.
Uh-huh.
And that was never a game last night.
Then the under 230 to 224 and a half. They were all over that. Bulls 3-1 on the money line. Hello, Timberwolves. Another bad loss. And Missouri State plus 240 on the money line. Late night in college. Subscribe, be part of the team, vsin.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in, we'll put you on. Mitch sent this in. This is national news. We go down the street and you got the cops trying to help out as a cow and a dog are running down the street. They're going on the highway. You got to get them off the road here. And finally they get up. I mean, you don't see this every day with the cow and the dog running down the middle of the road. And the cops got to come in with the escort and say, come on, guys, got to be safe here. Everyone pull over and we got four cop cars, three cop cars. I mean, this is incredible.
Tango and Cash out there.
No kidding. Great job. Finally, they run off the road and okay, about their business. Look at the dog. Incredible. It's like yesterday with the border collie with the sheep. No problem. Our husky, the old husky, rest in peace, Iris, used to do this on a regular basis. Look at the dog who broke out of the cage. Yeah, look at that. I did that. What are you eating? Chewed right through it with the steel cage? Look at that. Look at it. It's a big hole in it. I don't know how he did it. Must have. He bit through it or something because there's a big hole right in the middle of the thing. And Iris used to, she wouldn't bite through it, but she would somehow be able to lift the gate up and sneak out of it on a regular basis.
It looks like he was able to, push the bars open enough to where he could squeeze through. But how did he do that, though? Was it with his mouth and his teeth?
Wow.
There's no way a dog can't bite through that, can they?
That's a good question. I think they can.
Oh, man.
I absolutely think they can. It depends if it's not, one of those big boys and not that strong. Unless you think he's the Incredible Hulk and he just opens the thing up. Done that in, Luke. Been a great job all week with the videos. One, lose some. I'll give this guy credit in a second. We got to put these people on blast and put them on Front Street. Yesterday at the Mint in Kentucky at Circa, where people are trying to eat the buffet. Unbelievable. Look at this today. Guy goes to Starbucks in line in front of him, barefoot. Who just gets in their car? Drives to Starbucks, they walk in, no socks, no shoes. Remember, every place has a sign. No shoes, no service, right? No, go back to Fast Times at Ridgemont High. No dice. I mean, that is... I what are we doing? Who are these people that are comfortable just... It's one thing, I'm on an airplane. Okay, that's it. I'm taking the shoes off as soon as we get in the air. What is this? I'm going out in public and I'm going into a Starbucks or a buffet and I'm barefoot.
Well, here's another question then. For somebody like this, do they actually leave their house barefoot and that's how they drive over? Or do they have slippers on or shoes in the car and then they take them off in the car then walk in barefoot?
I think they just leave the house barefoot.
They leave the house? I don't think I've ever driven a car barefoot in my life. I don't even know what that would be like.
I don't understand it.
But the fact that...
I can't believe it.
You're not going to walk in there and say... Oh my God, I forgot my shoes. You're going to know that you don't have shoes on.
Yeah, now think about the guy yesterday. He's staying in a hotel. So he leaves his room without shoes on and just walking all over the casino, goes to get coffee, and then goes to the buffet.
I don't
barefoot.
See. I will fight back on that one a bit. Maybe the guy was coming from the pool. I don't know. That's a little bit different than a regular brick and mortar, in my opinion.
At the pool that time, that early?
Some of these swing joints, Paulie, come on.
For the line move, sharp play's already there. January isn't about volume, it's about precision. NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar books or full-time sharps on your own. With the sharp plays, you don't have to. Free reports, alerts, market moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. They've been at it since 2011. Follow the money since day one. Mr. Poison tweets on Sunday. SharpPlays.com. Give Jeff and the crew a follow. They're fantastic. SharpPlays.com. Trusted by pros. Monitored by the books. The problem you have is with a lot of this stuff is you don't know what's AI and what's real. Because a lot of people sent this one into me where the bear at the last second covers up the cub and there's an avalanche and protects the cub. But you don't know if it looks real to me. But then you wonder about some of this stuff that's AI. But a lot of people sent that to me where the bear comes in and covers up the cub right when the avalanche hits.
Yeah, my first reaction now to any of these videos, that's got to be AI. It has been for quite some time. So
I'm Gloomy Gus. So you don't like my answers all week about what could happen for a bad Super Bowl matchup, but we saw what happened with Knicks, the unfortunate injury. What if something happens on Sunday? What are we talking?
Yeah, so like you're going to have your phone in your hand. You automatically like fire up your apps to bet the other side if we have a quarterback injury. For example, for the Patriots, behind Drake May, it's Josh Dobbs and then Tommy DeVito. You okay with Dobbs if he has to come into the game?
Not really, no. I like him more than Ellinger.
See, I think I'm okay with Ellinger.
Really?
I think
that's
I am.
Surprising. Wow.
I have these games that he played in the preseason with the Colts burned in my brain where he actually looked pretty good, I thought, and I can't get those out. So
Dobbs has played in a lot of games, so I'm totally fine with Garoppolo.
Well, certainly.
Absolutely fine with Garoppolo.
And then, who knows, maybe if it has to go beyond that, it's Stetson Bennett. But, yeah, if it's Garoppolo, I think you have to be correct with that. I would be okay with the 49ers. I'd be okay with Dobbs, I think. If Darnold gets hurt, it's Drew Lock. Now he's cleared now. He's not even on the injury report this week. The oblique's going to be fine. But if something were to happen, it goes Drew Lock, then Milroe. So what happens, tight game? Let's say it's late second quarter. The oblique flares up again. Uh-oh, we got to go to Drew Lock. Is your first instinct going to be to bet the Rams?
I think he'd be okay. He can scramble, short passes, has some weapons, lean on Walker in a running attack. Dump it off to him. Everyone seems to love his receiving yards over.
And I'll give you this as well from Steve McKinnon at VSiN.com. Best NFL road rematch teams lately.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams are 12-5 straight up, 15-2 ATS, last 17 on the road in a rematch. Week 16 was a rematch. They cover the game. They didn't win it. We all know that they should have. So that record should actually be like 13-5 straight up. Whatever. They're still 15-2 against the spread. But I'm with you. Like, it's kind of difficult for me to overcome the third straight road game angle overall.
That's tough. I know. That is history is all over Seattle here with that. It's my third straight road game. Seattle has a rest advantage, and I'm off an overtime game.
Correct.
So the last five teams off an overtime win, 0-5, 15 points per game. And then if you factor in rest advantage, 1-8 straight up. Going back. Everything points to Seattle there. Thanks to JD in Florida. That was at a Starbucks at 8 in the morning in Florida. But that's good angles, too. That is.
What do you want to do with what Kramer was talking about for the first touchdown scores? Davante Adams is not very often, especially when you go back to the early part of the year. Man, they were going to him like every single pass
they
play.
Were. Yeah.
And he's 9-1 to score the first touchdown.
Yeah, that seems like a good price. Helani's 8-1 anytime.
Anytime.
Up at DraftKings. They have that. They've put him on there now.
Okay, so what has to happen for him to score a touchdown? Is it a blowout, or is it that he's actually going to split a little bit here with Kenneth Walker? He'll spell him because Charbonnet's obviously
goal line stuff. Yeah, yeah. You know, some of this stuff isn't crazy when you think of. I mean, Humphrey's prop last week was 2.5.
I see.
The guy should have had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I see 7.5 for him right
see,
now.
See, that's too low too. I mean, that's...
Well, he can get that with one completion, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing to look at is all these tight ends with the Rams. Now, you don't have a big number on Parkinson, but he threw to 4 different tight ends in the Thursday night game. When he went 580 yards, now you're back. You're going to throw at me. He has Adams now, but Adams hasn't looked the same since he came back and only had 2 catches against the Bears, and one of them was late. So maybe it's you get any time on one of these big tight ends. Like a Ferguson or something like that comes in.
So
or even Mumfield is like 16-1.
I just don't know. What's the advice for the Rams tight ends then? You bet them all, hope 2 cash, and then or 1 cash, you're going to make money? Because to me, it's too dicey. It's like the Green Bay Packers wide receiver situation most weeks.
All right.
Parkinson's the most reliable, but you can certainly get something all of a sudden. Hey, there's Ferguson at the goal line, or here's Higbee out of nowhere, where it throws it for a little bit of a loop. If there's going to be a guy to go off to in the game, I think it would be Parkinson, yeah?
Right, right.
All right.
And that's like 6-1 at FanDuel. Most yards for a tight end.
Ed Sammage is going to hop on the program coming up next, VP Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook. We'll get his opinion on these two games and find out where they're seeing sharp money 2 days before kickoff next year on VSiN.